of all, it's Sunday afternoon.
Fantastic.
Raise your hands, give me some noise if you're enjoying the con. Thank you very much. This is Down and Dirty Marketing. Welcome to our panel on how to, once you've got your book written, and even beforehand, how to spin that into a profitable career for yourselves. I'm going to spin the control of the panel over to Kale Allen, who has been in the industry for a number of years. She runs Marketing for Romance Writers, a group that deals with romance, but it's pretty multi-genre. So if you write sci-fi, you write fantasy, Kale's a sci-fi junkie anyway.
Yeah.
So you guys are in the house. Please give me a warm Dragon Con welcome to Kale Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready. How about you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to have my friend Elizabeth. Oh, boy. Tell me your name again. Say it loud. Kalaji.
Kalaji.
It's spelled like Kalaji. Really wrong, but it's easy to say. It really is. So I'm going to she's going to hand out some things for me. This right here. If you want one, just hold your hand up. I don't have but a few copies. But you can. Oh, they want me to speak in the mic. Okay, sorry. You're not speaking loud enough. Now I'm speaking into the mic. Okay. Marketing for Romance Writers, it's easy to remember. Just put .org, not .com, .org, and you'll see it. What we do is we help our members promote, and we also teach. Pointing up. Louder?
Yes.
Louder. Okay. That's it.
That's it? Okay.
One more.
Here's one more. Yeah.
Two more. Wait. Do you need a copy too?
Okay. Can you hear me now? Woo! All right, I'll just stand up because I have one of those small voices.
Right. Which is funny right. Because if you actually get to talk to her online, she's like very huge in knowledge and in the way she deals with things. So, hey, go figure.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a staff of 11 volunteers who help with marketing for romance writers, and you'll learn all about that if you join the group. You don't have to be a romance writer. You don't have to even really be a writer. If you're a publisher, an editor, an agent, if you're a cover artist, if you are, what else do we have?
Everything.
A promotion service. If you're an associate in the industry, you're welcome. And we don't do any promotions on our group, our Yahoo group. We do it on Facebook. We also do it on Twitter. We have a Pinterest account. We feature your books on our Pinterest account. Our members get promotion. Right now, we have a thing going on that's an opportunity. How many of you think you might be able to spare 50 cents in a month? Okay? That 50 cents can go toward getting your banner, a little gift file, a banner, a shared page on our website, on a site that gets 3.5 million hits a month.
Oh, sweet.
And it costs you a whole 50 cents a month. You can buy up to 6 months at a time. That's $3. And you can pay through PayPal. It's a really sweet deal. And you just have to be a member of the Yahoo group to do it. So that's for that. We do a lot of other things. We have a pitch event coming up in September, the 8th and 9th, with over 25 publishers who range from young adult to erotica to nonfiction, everything you can imagine. We even have an Amish publisher looking for sweet love stories. So we really have quite a variety. We're also doing a class on Pinterest. We're doing one on how to use Kickstarter to raise money for a project. We're going to do one on...
That's gonna be good.
Choosing social media, what to know before you sign a contract. We have two lawyers in our group who are going to do a workshop for us. And if you've never heard of Paperly, if you're on Twitter, you should know about Paperly. It's an awesome thing. What you and you make a list on Twitter, for example, that's like I have one for authors. I have one for MFRW, our Marketing for Romance Writers group. And I put all our members in there who are on Twitter. So when Paperly looks at stuff every morning, it looks at tweets from who are done, or which are done by the people on that list, puts together any tweet with a link and makes a newspaper out of it. Automatically, once you set it up, you don't do anything else. It does it for you, and it gets mentioned constantly online. People always, it'll come out and it'll say, Marketing for Romance Writers Daily, and it might have 10 people credited. All those people want to retweet that and share it, and there's other ways to use it to promote. So I'll tell you all about that in a workshop. So I am not going to do all the talking. I'm done.
What?
All right,
oh,
all
here
right.
I thought we got all
okay,
today.
I'll talk a little bit. But I am going to have our panelists do some things. I'm going to have them introduce themselves. But let me tell you one thing, what I want them to do. This is Gail over mm-hmm. here, and she's going to talk about who she is and what she does. And you need to really pay attention to this lady. She's very smart. She knows what she's doing.
She is. She rocks.
She's going to talk to us about what the biggest mistake is that newbies make in marketing. And then Kieran Kelly, I've known for a long time, very good, very close friend. She's going to talk about how to be innovative with your marketing. And believe me, she knows what she's talking about. She's done some amazing things. You wouldn't look at this. This is a pencil. And she's made these cool little heads to give out. Just who would think of that?
So that is.
She's going to talk about that.
They're fun.
And then Sonara Tregarth over here is going to talk about what's the easiest thing you can do. Sasha is going to talk about return on investment, ROI, what's in it, and how can you make money on it. And then I'm going to give a few minutes, if she probably doesn't know this, to Robin from the adult fan fiction group. And uh-huh. I'll just ask her to kind of come up at the end here and talk to us a little bit. And we'll also have some questions and answers if we have time. So I'm going to turn it over to Gail and ask her to introduce herself and talk about what's the biggest mistake people make in marketing.
Sure, thank you. I'm Gail Z. Martin. I write the Chronicles of the Necromancer series for Solaris Books and the Fallen King cycle for Orbit Books. Coming next year, I have a new series coming out with Orbit Books, which is the Ascendant Kingdom Saga with Iceforged. All in all, in the last 5 years, I've brought out 12 traditionally published books for major New York and London publishers and sold close to 400,000 books internationally, including translations across the world. So marketing is the lifeblood of what I do. I have an MBA in marketing. I've spent 25 years in marketing, and I brought all of that to support my books when they came to market, which spawned a second line for me because so many people were asking, I don't know what you're doing, but I'd like to learn. Whatever you're doing is working. Can you please show me? That I now write two nonfiction series, the Thrifty Author's Guide series on book marketing, and there are three books in that, and the 30-Day Guide series on social media marketing. And if you're interested, there are more materials up here. But the number one mistake I think new writers make is they don't realize that a book is a business. And your book is only going to take off to the extent that you're behind it. Your publisher, if you have one, cannot put enough marketing behind it to make it a success because they have other authors they have to support also, so they'll do a little maybe, but not enough. If you're self-published, it's all you, so you've got to get out there and let people know about the book. And if you're in a small press, they might love to promote you, but they can't do it for you. So first of all, think of your book as a business. Secondly, realize that you have to drive the marketing for your book. Even if you're with one of the major New York publishers, you have to drive the marketing for the book. And the third piece is don't wait until the book comes out to think about the marketing. In my Launching Your Book Without Losing Your Mind book, I talk about how to ramp your marketing up from 6 months before your book comes out through 6 months after. And the truth is, if you can start that a year out, it's to your benefit because you need to have people looking for your book when it comes out and ready to buy it and jumping on it. You don't want to get that book out there by its lonely little self and then try to get people interested in it and you. You want to build that following and that platform so that they're on it as soon as that book comes out. And that means thinking ahead. And so, hate to tell you this, the hard work isn't over when you finish the book. I'd say the hard work's just beginning.
Very true.
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah, Kieran, will you take the next one of how to be innovative?
Sure.
And tell who you are.
I'm Kieran Kelly. I've got 12 novels and over 60 shorts out.
Louder.
Oh, okay.
Speak up,
that better?
Baby.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. I'm Kieran Kelly. I've got 12 novels and over 60 shorts out. I write male-male romance, which means automatically that I am with small presses because New York does not publish it. And being with small presses presents me with kind of a unique problem as far as how much I'm going to spend to market my books. I need to keep a strict budget or else every penny that I make is going to go right back into marketing my next book and I'm not going to make any profit. So I have to be kind of inventive And that's kind of what I suggest for new writers. Be creative. You're a writer. You have the creativity. We know this because you've already written a book. Use that creativity to think of new and interesting ways to spend what money you have on marketing that's going to be effective. For example, paper marketing tools like postcards, they're all well and good, and everybody uses them to some extent. But if you're at a con like Dragon Con, and you have one of these, and you put this on a table with 5 million other ones like these, nobody's going to pick yours up because it blends in and it's just a sea of paper. However, if you have something like this, which may be a little different, somebody's going to walk by and they're going to say, "Whoa, what the hell is that? Oh, excuse me, what's that?" And they're going to pick it up and they're going to take it home. So if you can find something that's going to stick out and be different and not cost you an arm and a leg, even if it's going to cost you a little time and effort to make them, it's worth it. Because you want something that people are going to take home with them and keep. Because that's going to keep your name in their mind rather than something that they're going to maybe pick up, probably won't, but maybe pick up and will probably throw away in the wastebasket before they ever leave their hotel.
Very cool.
It's true.
It's very true. It's also a lot of money, and some conventions are now saying, please no paper swag. Do not bring postcards or bookmarks because there's just too much and they end up having to clean them up.
Exactly.
So keep that in mind. Sonar, would you introduce yourself, please, and talk about what's easiest marketing?
Okay. My name is Sonar Tregarth. I'm known for writing both paranormal romance, erotic romance, and sci-fi fantasy, both the genre sci-fi fantasy as well as romance or orientation. I'm also an editor at Etopia Press, which does all sorts of genres. One of the things about marketing, when I first started, I thought I had to be everywhere at every minute of every day. You don't have to be, but you do have to establish a presence. The easiest things that you need to do, honestly, truthfully, is you got to have a website. Now, if you write right now, you need to have a website. If you don't have a website, you need to get a website. You need a name, and you need to make sure that your website has your name on it. Book your name, get it for 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't matter. If you don't have that, you don't have your presence. The other thing to do is figure out how you want to do it. Do you want to have a blog on it? Make sure you're out there. The other thing is, the easiest thing that we find, well, me and my friends find to when it comes to promotion, and I mean easy, group together. My friend Selena Ilaria and I. Sorry about that. Sorry, I try to talk loud as it is. I think I project too far. One of the things that we figure out to do is we group together. We do blogs together. We do chats together online. The other thing we do is we do Facebook parties. We go and we'll post snippets of books, of upcoming books, releases of people we're interested in, our own books. Something that one grabs the interest of people that we're talking to, people that, whether it's friends and family, whether it's also people who are following us, but it's also a way of attracting new people who might be hesitant about your work, but all of a sudden they see this cute, this interesting blurb, they see a great looking cover, and now they're going to click on that link to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble, to another third-party site, and once they're there and they're browsing and they see that link, oh, let's see what other book they have out. And then all of a sudden they're looking at your list of books, and they may not pick up that first book, but they're more likely to pick up the second and third book. And that's easiest marketing you can do for yourself by having that set up. And if you have email, if you all have your website already set, you should have a signature on every piece of email you put out that has your website attached to it, your Facebook, and your Twitter account. Simple, easy way to go. Get yourself established.
Thank you for saying that. You know what's really bad? I run a Yahoo group called Romance Lives Forever, and I've had it since 2004. Mm-hmm. It's very popular. It has about 1,500 members on it. They're not all authors. There's a nice mix of authors and readers. And what's really crazy is when someone comes on and says, "Oh, I'm so excited about my new book. Here's an excerpt." There is no title. There's no publisher. There's no signature. And the email is, "Bobby's mommy." Who wrote the book? You have no idea. You've just spent time and effort to do nothing, because all you did was get someone interested and curious, but there's nothing for them to follow up. So never put out an email or a message, that you don't have something on there, some way to follow up. Can't stress that enough. And please, Elizabeth will vouch for this for me, on Marketing for Remote Writers, I'm always harping on, do not put your Twitter account as at KL Allen. That is not a link. Put http://KL Allen or whatever it happens to be. You can put KL Allen on yours. That's fine. I need new followers. But do that, because when people reply to an email or it gets reposted or whatever, all they see is text. And at KL Allen is not,
bad.
It's not a link. Nobody can click it. You can't even highlight it and say search for Google or whatever, because it's not going to find it. You need to have the whole thing. So do yourself a favor. Make yourself findable. Okay, I'm going to shut up. And I want Sasha to please introduce himself and talk about ROI.
Make it brief.
No, it wasn't that. I was saying something else. My name is Sasha Levitch, and I am the bad boy of romance. Many of you have seen me outside smoking cigars. Many of you have seen me with a drink or a flask in hand. Many of you have seen me outside with various attractive women. That is all part of a marketing platform. Because my publicist said I get to do this. Because it all feeds back into a uniqueness that is me and my books. So to let you all know who I am Sasha Levitch. I have been published for 13 years. I edit for Sizzler Editions. We are an adult publisher. We also have the Page Turner Editions and Deerstalker Editions. I know we have the card discussion a minute ago, but there are cards back there because I'm out of business cards, unfortunately. Shame on me. You can boo me real quick right now. Awesome. As an editor, I have to look at things differently from the perspective of, so the book, even though it's an ebook, it costs money to acquire. It doesn't cost as much as print, but it does cost enough to where I have to justify to my publisher why this book will sell, why I think it's great. It can't just be well-written and no market. So we have that. I was taught to look at writing as a business from the very, very, very first get-go when I put word one on page one after the title. And so when I look at marketing from that perspective, I want to know that my dollars, if I spend any, are going to justify my royalty check at the end of the month or quarter or whatever it may be. And that's easily trackable via your sales figures, via your royalty check. There's a simple formula you can use to determine your ROI. I can share it later, or it'll be up on the site somewhere. But basically, you want to know that when you bring in a profit or a royalty check, that how much of that was spent on marketing and what that return is. The figure that you're going to get is going to differ for everybody, because not everyone has the same goals, because of the fact that we start at various points in our career and decide, maybe you decide one day you want to write a book and become an author, and that's it. You want a book published. Great. Then you begin to get a royalty check, because maybe you're Karen and Kelly and you're an excellent author and you write mail with such finesse that the readers love it. Maybe you're Gale or Sin and you've got marketing books that authors need, or you've got world building that's excellent, and all of a sudden that check shows, wow, I really know my stuff. How do we keep this money train rolling and make it make sense so I'm not spending more than I make? And that's what I'm all about. My favorite form of promotion, and this is a thing that not every author gets initially, is to use the free story sites. If you write it, I promise you, there is an audience for it. I may not know as an editor, Sin might not know as an editor, but some publisher legitimately will publish your book. No guarantees you'll make money, but there's a guarantee that there is an audience, because, let's face it, there are now 7 billion people on this planet, and a good majority of them like to read with enthusiasm. And so you want to break down your actual cost and look at what you're marketing at. The story sites, the free ones, readers love that, especially when you put excerpts up and long, long snippets, because you essentially, with your book already written and your excerpt and your well-written blurb, you draw them into your world. And readers, as we all know, think reality is, well, it's reality. It's hard. Fantasy is much better. So I want to live in your world, or any one of you guys' worlds, because why not? And if you draw me in, chances are you will close the sale on a book.
Thank you.
That's really true. If you see a lot of things now on Kindle that are free books. The authors make a big mistake when they give away too many free books, because if constantly giving them away, why would anyone buy it? They would just wait until your next free book. So what's a really good way to market now is to give away a free short story that involves the characters in your book or is set in that world. For example, a prequel that tells a little bit about them before the story started. People read that, they get a feel for your writing, and they jump on the idea of getting something. Their appetite is wet. Or maybe something else is wet.
They get their kicks.
And they want to know more. I had a character in the first book I published who was just sort of a big bad guy in the background, and I really hadn't planned to write anything major with him. He was important to the story, but everybody kept saying, when is he going to get his story? When is he going to get his story? And he eventually he's been in 6 books. So, yeah, you know, listen to what your readers have to say. They will tell you what they want.
There's a caveat to that, by the way.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Don't write a cliffhanger as your little free prequel, because your readers will hate you for it.
Forever.
And they will let you know.
Yeah.
Make sure it's just like a standalone.
The caveat to that is that you need to have the URL to buy the book at the end if you're going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I would say.
That's really true. The end of your short story,
make
your freebie. Make sure you have links to the real
story.
To the book. I have a thing on my website, a free read, that is the short story that inspired a book, and it has a link in it to the real deal.
Yes.
So, and that story, the free read gets downloaded all the time. So, it's surprising what you can do if you just give it a little bit of a whirl. Right now, I think we have about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So we've motored right on through this. So I want to see, are there any questions that you have? Yes.
Right here.
Yes.
Both, Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
And Sin was just trying to, you mentioned what your publishers were, but you went so fast, we didn't even get a chance to write the names.
I'll say it again. I work for Etopia Press.
Etopia.
Mm-hmm. Etopia, and then Press.
Okay, and is it .com?
.net.
.net. And you?
For our adult audience, SizzlerEditions.com, SizzlerEditions.com. We are the adult arm of Renaissance eBooks. For our non-adult and everyone who reads everything they can get their hands on, Page Turner Editions. And again, it's Page Turner Editions.
All one word?
Yes, all one word in both cases.
No hyphen, no nothing.
Correct.
You can also go to Lucid. It's LOOSEID, but put a dash between the E and the I, loose-id.com. They take adult fiction, and in fact, they're starting some new genres you should look at.
Yeah, they're doing some really good work. We both write for them, actually.
All three of us.
Yeah, we do.
Quick question about Kindle Direct Publishing and the lending library that they have. Does anybody have any experience with that, and is that a good way to get your marketing
I'm
going?
I'm actually getting started on that. I think Stella was here. Stella could talk to us more about that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have friends who do it. They love it. If you're going to do it, though, make sure if you do a free book, do the free book for a limited amount of time.
Well, But
also make sure that your price yourself right. Don't overprice it. I'll be honest, everybody recommends between $1.99 to $2.99 as being your target price audience to make one best return for yourself. The other thing to remember to do, too, is if you're making a series of books, like if you're doing a trilogy or if you're doing a quartet, honestly, give the first one away for a set amount of time. One, because you're going to establish your base of readers, and then they're going to want the rest. So you're actually really drawing them in. I have the start of my series that I'm self-publishing, and that's one of the extra reasons I can actually talk about that. And that's what my goal is the first book is going to come out free for the first 3 weeks, then it'll go up to its regular price, and then when the next one comes out, I'll let that one go free for a week, and then that goes to its regular price, and then the third one I'm just going to go put out just as it is. But that's the way I'm strategizing it, just because of the fact that from everybody I've talked to who does stuff like that, that seems to be the best process of one of drawing in readers, but it's also marketability. It brings in a way where people talk about it. And that's the other thing. When you do this, let your friends know that they need to like help you out here and say, hey, by the way, did you hear that so-and-so is giving away their book for a week? So if you haven't gotten it, try it out.
Yeah, if you do Kindle, was it KDP?
KDP, and then Barnes & Noble.
They'll allow you to put your book up for 5 days for free. And I did that recently with a short story and had, like, I don't know, like over 1,000 downloads in 5 days.
Yeah, so do it.
And what happens is people download that, and then if they like your writing, they're going to go find your backlist, and they're going to buy your books. You know, so I think that's a really good way to market yourself.
Hi. I realize y'all are talking about fiction works. I'm a nonfiction writer and interested in what you think about e-books versus print books. Does everything always come out in both, or what if it's just an e-book? Does that look goofy?
Even though I write fiction, I've always said truthfully that print books feed my ego, but e-books feed my wallet.
It's going to depend, because I write two nonfiction series, and it depends in part on your goals for the book. So if you're a speaker and you need a back-of-the-room product because you're speaking to an audience and you want them to go to the back of the room and buy something, they're much less likely. They're not going to queue up and buy an e-book. There may be people in the audience who download it while you're speaking, but if they want you to sign something and they want a souvenir from your presentation, they want a physical book or they want some kind of material. So that's a difference with nonfiction over fiction. On the other hand, if you're doing something online like a webinar and you want to have a bonus item or you want to use a webinar to upsell somebody into another product, having them be able to just click through and buy something and download it right there, instant gratification, can be a wonderful thing. So it depends on how that piece fits into your overall goals for marketing that nonfiction topic.
And I'm sure Gail knows about this too, is Kindle Books has a thing called, it's not put out by Kindle, it's an associate with it, but it's Kindle Graph. And if you have a Kindle book and you want an autograph for it, you go to Kindle Graph, put in the author name, and if it's a book on Amazon, it'll pop up, and you can request it. They write out an actual inscription to you, and it goes to your Kindle.
It's actually cool.
And they'll actually sign through. It'll sign through the app. That's cool.
There's an app that you can get.
Go to KindleGraph.com.
Yeah, there's an app you can get for your tablet or your iPhone that'll allow you to take your ebook reader with you to, say, a signing, and you can have the author actually sign on top of it.
And Nook is coming out with, Barnes & Noble's Nook is coming out with one for that as well, too, now. So, should be fun.
Testing. Okay. Hey, this is actually a two-pronged question. First of all, platforms for ebooks. You guys are already starting to discuss them. What do you like and why? And number two is, would you ever contemplate releasing without DRM?
I already do.
Platforms. Yes. Platforms for an ebook. Definitely need one. One of the biggest changes we had in digital publishing was back in 2005, before Kindle and Nook and all the e-readers were big and they were still talking about it, was my competition and Kieran's competition, we were in the same pool. If you grabbed the latest James Patterson novel on Kindle, and then you finished it, and you wanted to go through his backlist, you could not get that. In ebooks, My only competition was Kiernan. It was Gail with her ebooks. It was Sin and Kale. When Amazon and New York figured out what ebooks were going to do and why they're here to stay, all of a sudden, New York said, hey, we're going to put John Grisham's entire backlist on the web. The reason for me being the bad boy of romance isn't so I can do my adult things and be cool and look, you know, like that and do what I do. It's because it draws, as a romance author, a unique marketing perspective to authors who really, or readers who want something different. 95% of my peers are female. I have to stand out somehow. It might be my great writing, but initially you don't have that because all you may see is my blurb and Gail's blurb and Kiernan's blurb and Kale's blurb and Sin's blurb. And then James Patterson and John Grisham. Mm-hmm. Then you hear the bad boy of romance or whatever the platform is, and you imagine and think about that and go, oh, wow, what's this author about? And then you find out, I am a male who enjoys the romance genre on all levels. Let's do some more research because it's interesting to a lot of folks. So yes, author platform, my publicist hammers me. In this setting, I've got to be controlled because of the age limit in the room. In the adult panels, I have a much more free range of things I can say and do and behave. But even online, everything I do has to feed my author platform. I'll let my panelists do the DRM portion.
Well, when you're writing for a publisher, that often isn't your choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether or not you're going DRM. That's usually the publisher's choice. That's included in your contract. If you're going to self-pub, now it is your choice, obviously, yes, whether you're going to go DRM.
What's DRM?
Digital rights management.
It's encrypted, so that your book is encrypted so that people can't
they have easily. To even some cases use a password to open it every time they want to read it.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of textbooks are done that way now.
Yeah. I personally, I think it's kind of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many ways to crack the DRM that if people really, really, really want to read your book and not pay for it, they're going to do it anyway. So all you're doing is making your legitimate readers who have bought your book go through the rigmarole of trying to use a password.
And there's a really big problem with DRM, which is if you're like me and you just like I went through 3 years ago, which is I had an older e-reader, and then I got my Nook. Suddenly I couldn't use my old books because wasn't the same format. So I had to rebuy all my old books on a new format. What good did that do me? That's a waste of $40-$50.
Well, on the subject of DRM, one observation that just sums up for me is putting DRM is not going to stop the pirates.
No.
What it will do is make sure that the pirates have a product that is more convenient and therefore preferable to your product.
Bingo. Mm,
right. Exactly.
I had a quick question. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for the panel. I'm here on behalf of my husband, who had to attend another panel. He has done a great deal of work writing. He's working on a series of graphic novels. So he's worked with an illustrator, and they've been working on that process, and that's just been released as an ebook. I feel, however, that he's behind on the marketing. And it's been released as an ebook. It's just starting in the beginning places of some of the marketing, just basic things, creating a Facebook fan page, simple things like that. And I have some background marketing, but I would love to get your advice specifically on marketing on the next steps for him to take.
You want to make it as easy as possible for people to get to know him and for people to feel like they're rooting for him because they've started to create a relationship. That's really what the platform is about in fiction. Mm-hmm. In nonfiction, it's all about styling yourself as the expert that people want to hear from. In fiction, it's about being a reader who writes something they enjoy, being a writer who writes something they enjoy and someone that they like and so they want to support. And so your Facebook page, your blog, your website, your Twitter account, being active on things like Goodreads, where you can get to know readers and have them get to know you. Very important piece of it. Go out there and find out
who the online book reviewers are for your type of material, and find out who runs those online reviews, and offer them review copies so that they can write a review. It doesn't guarantee you a good review, but if it's a good book, it will probably be a fair review, and their loyal readers are likely to take that trusted advice and go out and buy the book that was recommended. Get to know the people who run the websites that your readers read, and see if you can contribute content, an article, a guest blog post, some social media posts, be interviewed. So be as accessible as possible so people can get to know you and know what you offer and feel like they've made a connection. And really, a year out from publication is not too early to start, because that kind of stuff takes time, especially if you've got a day job.
Yep, build the buzz. I'd also like to add also for Facebook, there's actually a good tip, which new writers probably, everybody's like pointing toward the ceiling, is that better? New writers may not quite think of, because it sounds kind of incongruous actually, but I know if other authors in your genre, you may see them as your competition, they are also your friends. Mm-hmm. Friend them on Facebook, because their readers will become your readers.
Because they're going to see you, if you see, you congratulate them on a new release,
exactly,
they're going to look at your release.
That's putting your name in front of their readers. So friend other authors in your genre and outside of your genre.
And really, it's about visibility as well. But
this question for Sasha as well as the panelists. I currently run underneath a pen name because, well, as Ms. Martin found out earlier, she can barely pronounce my last name. So,
welcome to my world.
If you write under a pen name, is it a good business decision to develop a persona surrounding that pen name and market it on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh,
it is, but you still have to be truthful. You can't lie about who you are, because your readers will find out. And there's been a case recently in my genre, in MM romance, where a writer had a male pen name, which I do, but they pretended to be a man.
Man, yeah.
And it kind of blew up in their face, and it was just horrible. Went on for, like, weeks. So don't lie about who you are. You don't want to say that you're, you know, I don't know, some mad scientist working in a lab somewhere, you know, because people will find out, you know, when you start doing signings or you do panels like this, you know, it's obvious I'm not a man. So if I had said that I was, people are going to know. So make sure that in that case, you don't like overextend on the truth.
And the pen name itself needs to really work around your business plan. So obviously we're in this to make some sales and sell some books and entertain some readers, but you have to kind of look at your books overall. And the question I ask a lot of my new authors is, what is the overall theme of every single book you write? Yes, the genres might be different. Yes, the stories, the characters have their own personalities. But overall, what do you want your readers to take away from your books? In my case, as the bad boy, I want my readers to see that, yeah, I flirt, yeah, I do my own thing, but I understand your perspective as a reader, and as I mentioned earlier, that, yeah, life's hard. But I want my characters and readers to get along so my readers can escape to that world for a minute and see that there might possibly be a way out of the misery. And in my world, it's romance. Through that instrument, we break the barriers. And then at the end of the day, we have it set so you've got the whole range of emotions, because, yeah, I have days where I don't want to wake up. I have days where I don't want to do anything related to publishing, but I have readers who now depend on me for that experience.
Yeah. The idea of a pen name is, make sure you use it, and don't, like, if you're John, that's your pen name, don't start suddenly signing everything Mark. Stay who you are. Stay in character. Be who you are. And it's okay if people find out that your real name is whatever, but stay in character and don't sign it with both ways. Just pick one and go with it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, for me, my pen name is also part of actually who I am, because it's actually from my grandfather. It's actually with what my real name is, it's actually a form of. So everybody here calls me Sen, that's actually part of my legal name. And it just happens that Sanara is actually a Gaelic a Gaelic word, which is what my grandfather called me. And so to honor him, that's what I went with, since it's that form. And everybody who knows me knows that, and I make no secrets about that. But that's one of the things that I chose to do up front as a writer, is so people knew right away, this is who I am, this is what I am. You know, a lot of my stories involve dealing with the Celts and stuff of that nature. And so that was kind of the play on stuff. And I keep telling people, when you start figuring out where Tregarth came from, let me know, because the first person who gets it right will win a prize. And this has been 10 years now, and nobody's figured it out. So it's like, so it's an ongoing joke, because it's actually based off of another author's work who I am very, very fond of. So yeah, so it's an ongoing thing. But that's something that you can incorporate for yourself, and yet make it part of yourself that's still who you are.
We have time for two more questions, and then I have, I want to turn the floor over to Robin.
I was curious what the opinion of the panel was on somebody who's trying to be published for the first time, whether they should be concentrating on trying to be published electronically, either through pushing it themselves, or should be going to a publisher. It seems like the opinions have been all over the place that I've heard. I was curious about your opinions.
Why not do both?
I'll second that.
I mean, yeah. Seriously.
I think there are two, I'm hearing two different questions there. You know, first there is the question you have to make the decision on, do I self-publish or do I go to a traditional publisher? But that's a completely separate question from, do I publish in print and do I publish in ebook? Most...
Gail, speak up.
Yeah. There's no reason not to publish in both. And, you know, the only thing is, if you are self-publishing, then you have to work out the cost factor of producing the print books, because there's lower cost on doing the ebook. But if you're going to bring the book out, by all means, if you possibly can, and you're self-publishing, do it in both. And certainly, if you're traditionally published, there's no reason not to.
Next question.
Do you read the reviews that readers post? And if you do, do you respond to the readers?
Let me say that I had a book that won an Epic Award. It was the only gay romance that won an award that year, and it had massive reviews, wonderful reviews, 4- and 5-star reviews. Even the cover got awards. It was just a great book, and I had a person on Goodreads give it 1-star and say she couldn't even get through the prologue because it was just so boring. And you know, you have to go with, okay, she didn't read the book, so what does she know? But you really need to stop and think. There's a lot of people, if you go to any book that's been out for a long time, look at Harry Potter and see, does it have any 1-star reviews? Wow, somebody did not like Harry Potter, and she still made millions of dollars. You know what? It doesn't matter what they think. Now, if all you're getting is 1-star reviews, then you better listen. But if you're getting more than that and you're getting a nice smattering, when I go to get a book, I want to look at the reviews myself and see, are there a bunch of 4s and 5s and a couple of 3s and 1 or 2 1s? And I look at the 1-stars. I usually don't look at the 5-stars because I figure, okay, they know what they're talking about. They like it. But I look at the 1-stars. Why are they giving it? If it's, oh, I just couldn't finish it, it was too boring, they don't know what they're talking about. But they said, this is full of typos, and there's all kinds of editing mistakes and things like that. I don't respond to reviews. If they say something nice, if they give you a 3 to 4 to 5-star review, always reply and say thank you. Always. And if it's a 1 and 2-star review, really just leave it alone.
You're better off with that option, because there are going to be readers, gasp, that don't like you. That's fine. That's okay. There are people in this world that don't get me, they don't like me, and I got a bad review. Well, let me rephrase it. I got a less than perfect review on a story that came out through Decadent Publishing a couple months ago, and that's, you know what? I know my stuff. I have my support group in terms of these authors, because it does hurt. People are messing with your baby effectively and telling you you suck, and that's probably not true. You might need to still learn a little bit, always keep growing, but if you're in this business and you're really putting your heart and soul into it and you're really open to learning, those one-star reviews, they don't hurt less as time goes on, but they don't matter as much because you've probably built up an audience, you've probably built up a nice author support network, you may have gotten to a point in your career where you have an agent and some publicity and a publisher who believes in you, and there are times when you need that because some of the reviews are scathing. I used to work for a review house, and I've reviewed tons of books, and I've had from certain publishers that I couldn't, after the first book, I was floored. I wanted nothing to do with that publisher because clearly they had no sense. Then they sent me another book from that same house, and the author was fantastic. Her characters were memorable. Her story was great, and it made me go, okay, so the house is new. I get it. Sometimes an author just doesn't quite get it, and that's okay. It's not my cup of tea, but I can't trash talk the whole house. And really, from your platform perspective, you don't want to come out and be the vitriolic author who bashes every single one-star reviewer out there. Yeah, they're probably pinheads, but that's their problem, not yours. You've got books to write to make us as readers happy. Do your thing, and don't be afraid.
That's right. I don't think they're pinheads. I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And
that too.
And every, you know, it's not always, you know, not everybody's going to love your work. That's just the way it is. Yeah. You know, I don't like every book that I read. I've read some books that I've thrown across the room. You know, I've done the first couple of chapters. That doesn't mean that someone else isn't going to like them. And I also think that there's no set rules for reviews. So one person, you know, I've gotten a 2-star review on one of my books because the person liked it so much and thought it was too short. So they gave me 2 stars.
Oh, yeah.
It probably was.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. So, you know, you can't really...
I got a 2-star review once because Amazon didn't send it to them fast enough.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, you know, I got my book in, and, you know, and the box was damaged, and it got rained on, and...
Because every author packages and ships all their books by hand.
So, you know, I don't respond to negative reviews, ever. You're entitled to have them. You can put them on my Goodreads page or whatever, but I won't respond to them. I will always say thank you for a good review because I appreciate... I even appreciate the bad reviews because people have bought the book. You know, so I'm glad that you at least tried it.
Oh, yeah.
Also, last point on that would be, I had a couple of reviews that were less than stellar when I got into this business, and my publisher still found a way to take the golden gems out of that review and push the book today.
Exactly.
13 years. If any of you own Heavenly Bodies, that review on the back had a couple of less than great things to say. My publisher said, that's okay, we'll take these glowing bits and cobble them together and put it on the website, and there it is. Bam.
Oh,
boom,
yeah.
Baby.
All right, let's let Robin have her say because I want to feature her. She's giving a really good opportunity away, and we've got some cards up here for...
Yeah, I can tie everything that they've said together into a marketing opportunity with my site. I run adult fan fiction. So I don't use Google Ads to support my site. I don't use any of those advertising services. I use these fine folks up here. Every ad on my site relates back to the content. So you're doing a pointed advertising campaign towards people that review your work or that will read your work. Kiernan's been using us for years. She's one of my biggest supporters. I love having her around because she can never say enough good things. But she's done what Gail has said and put out coming soon banners on the site to drive traffic to her. She's linked out to her own site for things that she's done. To share an ROI story to tie back into Sasha, we have an advertiser who spent... We do, it's $20 a month for one banner, runs top and bottom of the page, both on the archive and forums. They spent $220 for 1 year. We do give discounts for extended time periods. Spent $220, they made over $1,000 off of that $220 investment. It's not, it's not a huge, but you know what? It's more money than they made before. So we've got, for anyone who's looking for advertising, there's cards up here. You get 1 free month if you mention DragonCon when you email us. One free month. If you like us, please come back and support us. We will be happy to support you. If you don't like us, well, then tell us what we did wrong, and we'll try and make it better.
Yeah. You know, no matter how you feel about fan fiction, because I know some people feel very strongly one way or the other about it, what you need to remember as writers is that fanfic people are, first and foremost, readers. Yeah. They're going to the fanfic sites to read. Yeah. They will, in turn, read your books.
We get some of the best click-throughs. I mean, you guys talk about click-throughs.
Yeah.
Get, on average, 0.9. We have 35 million impressions a month on our banners.
The readers, as a general rule, as most of you know, are voracious. Some of the sites that I post to story-wise, those readers come back 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day just to see if their favorite author has updated a chapter, has updated a story, has updated something, because they're locked into that world.
We are actually finished. We are finished on time. It's right now exactly 4:57. So I want to thank each of you for being here today.
You don't make me in charge tomorrow.
No, the old postmaster.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm out of practice.